Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj Srila Bhagavatam ki, Kiriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Gokhima Nuti. So what did we discuss last night and now? Was?
We spoke a little bit about mantras and the importance of reciting and chanting mantras correctly. And also not only chanting the mantras but also it is the feeling that our consciousness that is more important to actually get the attention of the Lord.
Any other points? Okay. Any other points? Good. Anything else?
What's the importance of taking initiation? Both Guru and disciple takes the current of the Guru system.
Anything else?
Yeah, that is really interesting. How I work in this book, the material as well as the spiritual ethics. And he must aspire to become a Kumarki Kadi. And if he aims for that, then he might become a Kumarki Kadi.
Any other points? So we've heard about Gajendra Moksha in the first, second chapter, third chapter, fourth chapter. And now we're hearing about further manus who have appeared, because the first chapter of the eighth canto discussed the six manus, which will be discussed, their appearance and the incarnations of the Lord who appeared during their reign. So we heard about Gajendra and how the Lord appeared to Gajendra. Now we're going into the description of the churning of the ocean of milk by the demons and the demigods. and the appearance of Mohini Murti, who is another incarnation of the Lord. So the eighth canto of the Bhagavad Gita in particular has a description of many incarnations. And we'll also hear further about Vamana. So different incarnations being described. So this is leading into the churning of the ocean of milk from this point onwards. So tonight we'll go from verses 15 to 24 of chapter 5. What's that? 15? No, we finished on 14. Chapter 5. Shukadeva Goswami said, when the Asuras, with their serpent weapons, severely attacked the demigods in a fight, many of the demigods fell and lost their lives. Indeed, they could not be revived. At that time, O King, the demigods had been cursed by Durvasa Muni. The three worlds were poverty-stricken, and therefore ritualistic ceremonies could not be performed. The effects of this were very serious.
It is described that while Durvasa Muni was crossing on the road, he saw Indra on the back of his elephant and was pleased to offer Indra a garland from his own neck. Indra, however, being too puffed up, took the garland and without respect for Durvasa Muni, he placed it on the trunk of his carrier elephant. The elephant, being an animal, could not understand the value of the garland, and thus the elephant threw the garland between its legs and smashed it. Seeing this insulting behavior, Durvasa Muni immediately cursed Indra to be poverty stricken, bereft of all material opulence. Thus the demigods, afflicted on one side by the fighting demons and on the other side the curse of Durvasa Muni, lost all the material opulences in the three worlds. To be extremely opulent in materialistic advancement is sometimes very risky. The materially opulent person does not care about anyone, and thus he commits offenses to great personalities such as devotees and great saints. This is the way of material opulence. As described by Sukadeva Goswami, Dhana Dhurmadhanadha Dhurmadhanadha. Too much wealth makes one blind. This happens even to Indra in his heavenly kingdom, and what to speak of others in this material world. When one is materially opulent, he should learn to be sober and well behaved toward Vaishnavas and saintly persons. Otherwise, he will fall down.
Any interesting points? Because Indra disrespected him. So.
But they were killed in the fight. Hmm. But as Asuras. So that time, what did he curse?
No, cursed before the fight.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, before the fight. Any other points?
When a person becomes proud because of material wealth, then he doesn't care about anyone, he offends people easily, offends Vaishnavas, which is very dangerous for his spiritual health.
So you need piety to gain leisure, and then you need more piety to gain leisure. So if the demigod did the wrong thing, then how could he
return? Yeah, that's what took place. So again and again, throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, we're reminded to avoid Vaishnav aparad. It's a repeated theme throughout the Bhagavatam. It comes up again and again and again. Fourth canto, there was serious instruction in the whole first seven chapters, the Daksha Jagya. And it's come up repeatedly that we have to be very careful about offending. And we heard again in canto 6 where Indra offended Brihaspati. So continuously, it's a theme which has to be reiterated because it's very important in spiritual life. And that's why Lord Chaitanya said it was Hati Mata. Which means if the Supreme Lord himself, the Yuga Avatar, says that this is Hati Mata, mad elephant offence, most serious offence, then we should take notice of it. It's not a small thing to offend a devotee. So the offences can be corporal, they can be vocal, and they can also be mental. Like that. We can mentally think ill of a devotee. More serious is to vocally speak ill of a devotee, and most serious is to physically harm a devotee. So any offence, it will bring reactions. If we offend a devotee, reactions will come. And it impedes our spiritual progress. So we see here that Devasa was a sage, not necessarily a devotee, but he was a sage. Powerful person, and Indra became proud. So as Prabhupada is pointing out here, that is the danger of material opulence. So even though we may be wealthy, we should live simply. Even though we may have material opulence, but we should not exploit the material opulence. Personally, we live simply. And that stops you from getting proud or attached to the material opulence, because there's a sense of ego which is attached to all of these things. If you have too much wealth, you can become intoxicated by it, and then you get an air of superiority to others. So we have to be careful, even if we have wealth, that even though the wealth is there, still personally we will live very simply. And the way to purify the wealth is to use it in the service of Guru and Krishna. So if you have wealth, then use it. Don't just hold on to it, because it becomes a distraction in spiritual life. If you're just holding on to the wealth, then you're constantly meditating upon the wealth. Just like when I used to stay in Vrindavan at one ashram, which was owned by a disciple of Prabhupada, Shri Dakshay Vishnu Maharaj. And next to his ashram, was the ashram of the house of a very wealthy man in Vrindavan. He was the son of one of the landlords of Vrindavan. And the family owned about half of the real estate in Vrindavan. So extremely wealthy. But there was no peace of mind. He had about 12 armed bodyguards outside the house all the time. You know, with machine guns and like, there was no peace of mind whatsoever. So if you over-collect wealth and you don't use it in Krishna's service, you'll never be peaceful. So if wealth is there, it must be used in the service of Krishna. Okay. And in that way, you'll become detached from the wealth. Now we see here that Indra, he had extreme wealth. He was extremely wealthy and powerful, but he was using it for his own aggrandizement. And he became attached. And therefore, because he committed an offense to Durvasa in this particular case, he became weakened. And this is what happens in our spiritual life. If we offend a devotee, we become weakened. We lose our taste for chanting the holy name. We lose our enthusiasm for devotional service. So therefore, the Bhagavatam is warning us each time, again and again, to be very careful about offending the devotees. Don't become puffed up with material opulence. Even if you have opulence, it must be used in Krishna's service. Lord Chaitanya says, na danam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam. Right? So it's not, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out, it's not that the devotees don't have these things. It's not that we don't have danam, wealth, janam, followers, kavitam, that we'll have other people respecting us. But we use those things in Krishna's service. or everything that we get, we direct it into Krishna's service. That is the position of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is given wealth, he's given respect, but he uses that in Krishna's service. He passes that on to Krishna. And that way he remains unaffected. He doesn't get contaminated. So we should also learn to pass things on to Krishna. Don't think that everything belongs to us, but it's all Krishna's energy. And don't offend devotees. Don't think that you're superior to someone. Just because you have more money than someone else doesn't mean that you're a better devotee than that person. So you should always offer respect. Any points? Yeah. Just accept your quota. Whatever is your quota, you keep that, and the rest? Using Krishna's service. Any other points? Lord Indra, Varuna, and the other demigods, seeing their lives in such a state, consulted among themselves, but they could not find any solution. Then all the demigods assembled and went together to the peak of Sumeru Mountain. There, in the assembly of Lord Brahma, they fell down to offer Lord Brahma their obeisances, and they informed him of all the incidents that had taken place. So, what was the good quality of the demigods? What is their good quality?
They're depending on the Lord's
wisdom. Yeah, depending on the Lord's wisdom. What's their good quality? They approach their authorities, which is very good. What else is their good quality? Yeah, that's very good. They discussed amongst themselves. It's a very nice point. Yeah.
They
surrender. Very good. Which is a symptom of. The point is that if we make a mistake, we should rectify the mistake. Because we all make mistakes. We all treat others improperly. Sometimes we say things which are not proper. Sometimes we act improperly. But a pious person, a good person, a devotee, rectifies the mistake. Right? And that's the test of a devotee, because we all make mistakes. Knowingly or unknowingly, we may commit offenses. Sometimes we commit aparads. Knowingly or unknowingly. But what is the good quality of the devotee? He understands. As soon as he understands he has committed an offense to another devotee, he immediately does something about it. He doesn't want to go on for another 10 years, which unfortunately we see happen. You know, one devotee offends another devotee and they don't talk for 10 years. So what was achieved? Both of their spiritual lives have been disturbed. So as soon as something takes place, immediately we rectify it. So the demigods, they understood we've committed an offense to Durvasa. Let's do something about it. And as Mataji said, they consulted together. It's a very important point. Rupa Goswami says we must reveal our mind in confidence to others, and we must inquire confidentially and reveal the mind in confidence. It is necessary in spiritual life. We must always be consulting. My spiritual master, Tamal Krishnamurti, said, I don't trust any one person's mind, including my own. So in spiritual life, we don't trust just our mind. Right? Because your mind will tell you so many things. And your mind will justify everything you do. Whatever you do, your mind will say, oh, it was okay. You were having a bad day. Or it's okay. They deserved it anyway. It's okay. They're not so advanced. So your mind will justify it. But if we commit a mistake, then we should consult with the devotees. What should I do about it? And the devotees will give us guidance. So immediately, they went to Lord Brahma, their superior, and they said, what should we do? And immediately they rectified the situation. And then everything was put back on course very quickly. So in spiritual life, if we make mistakes, we rectify the mistakes, we recognize the mistakes, and then we do something about it very quickly, and then we can advance in Krishna consciousness. So demigods, they're great devotees, so they're setting the correct example for us. Any points?
It's a bit hard to find it.
You don't like your husband? I like him. At least someone in this room appreciates him. Oh my God.
Huh?
Yeah. He consults so many people. Yeah, he is satisfied.
Okay.
Do you consult other people? Upon seeing that the demigods were bereft of all influence and strength, and that the three worlds were consequently devoid of auspiciousness, and upon seeing that the demigods were in an awkward position, whereas all the demons were flourishing, Lord Brahma, who is above all the demigods and who is most powerful, concentrated his mind on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus being encouraged, he became bright-faced and spoke to the demigods as follows. To remember.
After hearing from the demigods the real situation, Lord Brahma was very much concerned because the demons were unnecessarily so powerful. When demons become powerful, the entire world is placed in an awkward position because demons are simply interested in their own sense gratification and not in the welfare of the world. Demigods or devotees, however, are concerned with the welfare of all living beings. Srila Rupa Goswami, for example, left his ministership and went to Vrindavan for the benefit of the entire world. Lokanam Pita Karinam. This is the nature of a saintly person or demigod. Even impersonalists think of the welfare of all people. Thus, Brahma was very much concerned at seeing the demons in power.
Any points?
Quality of leader. Prabhupada is saying that the leader is the one who takes the position. He should be concerned about his subjects. And Prabhupada is concerned with the existing condition of the politicians. They just in the name of the leadership, they just transfer themselves and take care of the subjects. So Prabhupada is concerned.
Any other points?
This is the situation of this, the whole world and all the leaders. They just think they're pleasant. They don't really know the problem. So that's why everybody is suffering. There's no auspiciousness.
Anything else? So Prabhupada is describing what is the nature of a devotee. Nature of a devotee, he wants to always see the best for everyone. He wants to make sure that everyone else is getting the highest benefit. Prabhupada was not sentimental. One time he was in Hyderabad, I've mentioned before, and he was having a conversation with an aid worker in Hyderabad. And the aid worker was saying, what is your definition of... what's the word? No, social work or what's it called?
Philanthropy.
Yeah, philanthropy or what's the other word? Definition of like...
Humanitarianism.
Yeah, humanitarianism. Or what's the other word? It's a word for it, I just can't think. What's your definition? Yeah, altruistic, that kind of thing. So they said, what is your definition of helping the other people? And then Prabhupada said, what is your definition? And then the lady said, to feed the people. And Prabhupada said, your definition of being altruistic or helping people, he said, it is just like blowing on a boil. In other words, it's a very superficial remedy. You can feed the people, but they'll be hungry again tomorrow. So that is not the goal. Well, that is not the highest welfare work. But Prabhupada said the highest welfare work is that we give them spiritual knowledge. So Prabhupada said you cannot preach to a hungry person. If someone's been fasting all day, they can't listen to the class. Just like on Gaur Purnima. You see everyone's fasting all day and then the class is there in the evening. You see devotees, you know, they're looking around and they're like, it's harder to focus. So when you're fasting or when you're hungry, it's hard to listen. So Prabhupada said that we have to feed the people, but we feed them Krishna prasadam. So we give them the highest benefit, because what is the highest benefit? It is to connect them to Krishna. So therefore we are not sentimental. We don't just feed the people, but we give them prasad. And we give them spiritual knowledge. So that is our program. Not that we just... sometimes we fall into the trap of just feeding people. We just feed people and feed people and feed people. We don't understand that the actual purpose of our giving prasadam is to give them spiritual knowledge. Sometimes we just get so caught up with prasadam distribution, we don't actually give them transcendental knowledge. So in ISKCON, that is always the emphasis. The highest benefit is to give people spiritual knowledge when they're ready for it. And many people are not ready for it, so it takes time. That's why we give them prasadam. But eventually they'll become purified and then we can give them something higher, which is spiritual understanding. Any points? Lord Brahma said, I, Lord Shiva, all of you demigods, the demons, the living entities born of perspiration, the living entities born of eggs, the trees and plants sprouting from the earth, and the living entities born from embryos all come from the Supreme Lord. From his incarnation of Rajagun, Lord Brahma, the Guna Avatar, and from the great sages, Rishis, who are part of me. Let us therefore go to the Supreme Lord and take shelter of his lotus feet. Rupa Raghunath.
Some creatures are born from embryos, some from perspiration, some from seeds. In this way, all of the energies emanate from the Guna Avatar of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Ultimately, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the shelter of all living entities.
What are the points? Krishna is Sarva Karana, which means he's the cause of all causes. Lord Brahma is the presiding deity of Rajagun, which means he is the creator of this universe. But the ultimate creator is Krishna. So Lord Brahma, he realizes this in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. There are a number of pastimes in the 10th canto where Lord Brahma realizes that he is insignificant compared to Krishna. Just like in the Brahma Vimoha Lila, 13th chapter, 14th chapter of the 10th canto. He understands when Krishna shows him his mystic power compared to Lord Brahma's mystic power, Lord Brahma feels like he is just a glowworm. But when the sun comes up, the glowworm has no power. In the nighttime, the glowworm is making some light, but as soon as the sun comes up, you don't even see the glowworm. So in Krishna's presence, even Lord Brahma becomes insignificant. This is the potency of Krishna. He is Sarva Karana Karana, which is one of the teachings of the Bhagavatam. Any points?
Yes, it's Lord Brahma
is
hinting
that we all should approach Lord Krishna. Yeah. Okay. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there is no one to be killed, no one to be protected, no one to be neglected, and no one to be worshipped. Nonetheless, for the sake of creation, maintenance and annihilation, according to time, he accepts different forms as incarnations, either in the mode of goodness, the mode of passion, or the mode of ignorance. Chaitanya Prabhu? Yeah.
This was explained that the Supreme Personality of God is equal to everyone. This is confirmed by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita, 9.29. Samaham Sarva Bhuteshu Namis Vesha Vastana Priya Ye Vijansitu Mam Bhaktya Manitateshu Chapiham. I am in no one, nor I am partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, is in me, and I am also a friend to him. Although the Lord is impartial, he gives special attention to his devotees. Therefore the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritrana Sahadunam Vinasara Chadushkutam Dharma Samstha Panathaya Sambhavami Yuvayuni. To deliver the pious and to annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, I attempt myself millennium after millennium. The Lord has nothing to do with anyone's protection or destruction, but for the creation, maintenance and annihilation of this material world, he apparently has to act either in goodness, in passion or in darkness. Actually, however, he is unaffected by this mode of material nature. He is the supreme Lord of everyone. As the king sometimes punishes or rewards someone to maintain law and order, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, although having nothing to do with the activities of this material world, sometimes appears as various incarnations according to the time, place and object.
Any points?
Lord is impartial to everybody, especially his devotees.
Any
more?
Anything else?
Lord's incarnation and is for mode of ignorance, Lord Shiva. Lord Brahma is for mode of passion. And Lord Vishnu for mode of goodness. Lord Vishnu for mode of goodness. Lord Shiva for more ignorance and Lord Brahma for compassion. Like that Lord maintains annihilates and maintains annihilates.
So Prabhupada sometimes says man proposes and God disposes. Mm-hmm. So why is this material world here? Because we desire to be separate from Krishna. Krishna does not desire for the material world to exist. It's not Krishna's desire that this world exists. It is simply for our desire. He's facilitating our misuse of independence. We wanted to be separate from Krishna, so Krishna created the material world for us. But Krishna's desire is that we come back to him. And therefore he appears within this material world to attract us back to him, to give us an opportunity to become attracted to him once again. So therefore it is said that Krishna is especially inclined towards his devotees. He wants anyone who is inclined towards him to come back to him. So therefore he comes again and again and again within this material world. And we see within this eighth canto that he is appearing again and again and again. Why? Because he wants to attract us to him. And that is the whole purpose of the Bhagavad Gita. That we study the Bhagavad Gita so we become attracted to Krishna. So he shows us different forms. Right? And each time we're supposed to be becoming purified and more attracted to Krishna. That is the point. So he doesn't want us to be in this material world. We desire to be separate from him. And he makes every attempt to try to bring us back to him. And by studying the Bhagavad Gita we'll become attracted to him once again. Any points?
Srila Prabhupada says that when it is impossible to make the positive steps to receive better.
Okay. It's 23. Is an extremely long purport in this next text. Now is the time to invoke the mode of goodness for the living entities who have accepted material bodies. The mode of goodness is meant to establish the Supreme Lord's rule and will maintain the existence of the creation. Therefore, this is the opportune moment to take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because he is naturally very kind and dear to the demigods, he will certainly bestow good fortune upon us. Jamunajiva, you want to read the first paragraph?
The material world is connected by the three modes of nature, namely Sattvaguna, Rajoguna and Tamoguna. By Rajoguna, everything material is created. By Sattvaguna, everything material is maintained properly. And by Tamoguna, when the creation is improperly situated, everything is destroyed.
Any points?
There is nothing separate from the Lord, and he is the one who gives the power to Brahma to create, and then he is the one who gives the power to Vishnu to maintain, and he is the one who gives power to Vishnu to inhabit.
Any other point?
We understand that even though the three modes play a different role in the material world, but originally it was the Lord Himself who glanced upon Mata Radha and these modes manifest. So the Lord pronounces the time factor which enters into Pradhan, and then these three modes come into existence. So in this way we can see the Lord is the original creator of Sarvakarana.
Any other point? So, by the mode of goodness, Prabhupada says, everything is maintained properly. And that includes our spiritual lives. How to make advancement when you're too much in the mode of passion and too much in the mode of ignorance. What are the symptoms of the mode of passion? Yeah. Too much. You're trying to do too much. That's the mode of passion. Always trying to do too much. Always rushing, never have enough time to do anything properly. Always trying to do too much. It's the mode of passion. And basically that's what the whole material world is based upon. Trying to do too much. Right? And not taking care of your spiritual life properly. Because you're trying to achieve too much in this material world. And you see, devotees, they fall victim to this all the time. Because they're always trying to do too much in the material world. But then they don't have enough time to do their sadhana properly. Right? And it's very hard to advance in spiritual life. So we have to be careful of the trapping of the mode of passion. Because mode of passion distracts us from spiritual life. Right? And then what is the symptom of the mode of ignorance? Yeah, you're lazy. Symptom of the mode of ignorance is you're lazy in spiritual life. Don't come to the Bhakti Vedanta course. Right? Rather stay at home and watch television. Or sleep. Or speak prajalpa. Or stay on the internet. Or so there's lazy in spiritual life. And in Kali Yuga this is particularly symptomatic, that people are lazy in spiritual life. They don't put enough endeavor into their spiritual life. So Prabhupada says we have to live in the mode of goodness. So it is difficult for the devotees to live in the mode of goodness because this material world is not conducive at this point in time. Kali Yuga is not, society is not in the mode of goodness. And because we have to interact with the society, it's hard for us to be in the mode of goodness. Because we're asked to get to work early, we're asked to leave late, we're given too much to do, it's hard for us to even finish our rounds properly. But if you want to make spiritual advancement, you have to situate yourself in the mode of goodness. Which means you have to have enough time. the best thing to do is to work as less as you can and get as much money as you can. If you can work out how to do that. It's not easy to do it, but if you can work it out, right? Do as little as you can and get them to pay you as much as possible. Right? And then just focus on your spiritual life as much as you can. Or if you can, retire by the age of 36. Right? Or 46. But retire as early as you can. Right? And then just concentrate on your spiritual life. Concentrate on preaching Krishna consciousness and spreading Krishna consciousness and doing full-time service. That is the desire of the devotee. The devotee doesn't want to do less service. The devotee wants to do more service for Krishna. So we have to finish our material life as quickly as we can, so that then we can fully engage ourselves in Krishna service. So, any points? Okay, so we'll read the next paragraph. So, Janeshwar, you have to read.
From this verse, we can understand the situation of Kali Yuga, through which we are now passing just before the beginning of Kali Yuga, or, in other words, at the end of the Dwapara Yuga, Lord Krishna appeared and left his instruction in the form of Bhagavad Gita, in which he asked all the devotees to surrender unto him. Since the beginning of Kali Yuga, however, people have practically been unable to surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna, and therefore, after some 5,000 years, Krishna came again as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just to teach the entire world how to surrender unto him, unto Krishna, and thus be purified. Surrendering unto the lotus feet of Krishna means achieving complete purification. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, in chapter 64, Sarvadharman Bhakti Jyamami Sarvadharman Mahamsa Kam Sarvadharman Jyam Mokshishan Masacha. Apart from all the religious religion and just personal company, I shall very well be for all things to be empty. Do not fear. Thus, as soon as one surrenders unto the lotus feet of Krishna, one certainly becomes free from all contamination.
That's good. So, any points here? So Lord Chaitanya is known as Kali Yuga Pavana, or the one who purifies the age of Kali. So it is by Lord Chaitanya's mercy that we can become Krishna conscious in this age. Because it's very difficult for people, as Prabhupada says, to surrender in Kali Yuga. Even Srila Prabhupada said about his disciples, he said, in general, people do not like authority. That is the nature of Kali Yuga. We don't like authority. We don't like to be told things. As soon as someone tells you something, immediately your false ego stands up. And we don't like to be told. And Prabhupada said that even it was difficult for him to correct his disciples. He says, because they're adults, you know, we're all adults. And then someone is telling you, you're a nonsense, you're a rascal, you know, you don't like to hear these things. So therefore, Prabhupada said it's difficult for the spiritual master to be able to instruct the disciple. And I remember my spiritual master, he said, near the end of his pastimes, he said that actually the spiritual master only says about 10% of what the disciple needs to hear. Because if he told you what you actually need to hear, it would be very difficult for you. So therefore the spiritual master will not say everything to the disciple, because the disciple is unqualified. So Lord Chaitanya is very merciful, because he makes everything as easy as possible in Kali Yuga, because we're not so qualified. So therefore he gives us the most easiest process. All we have to do is to go out in public and chant the Hare Krishna mantra. Do Hari Nam Sankirtan. Just like I have one good friend, his name is Rupa Raghunath Prabhu. Has anyone met him before? He's sitting here. So a couple of weeks ago he sent me a photo. He took some photos. He was in Tasmania, and they, himself and one other devotee, Adi Keshava Prabhu, they were doing Harinam. Was it in Launceston, right? So down in Launceston, so they had the march for the ladies who are trying to raise the awareness for breast cancer. So they all wear pink. So 2,000 ladies going down the street like a run, fun run, like a marathon. And then two Hare Krishna guys on the side of the road, dancing and chanting. And all the ladies that are running past, they very much appreciated it. And they're all laughing and smiling and like that. So this is the process in Kali Yuga. We just go out in public and we purify the conditioned souls by going out and dancing and chanting. And purify, giving them an opportunity to become purified and to realize Krishna. It could not be any easier. So if you ever think I don't have enough service, just go and stand outside your house and just begin to put your hands in the air and just do Harinam. And chant the holy name of Krishna and purify the public. Of course, if you go out by yourself, they might think you're a little bit crazy. Like that. Best to go with other devotees. Like that. Sometimes, I've seen some devotees doing Harinam by themselves, but sometimes it doesn't look... Everyone's getting purified by the sound vibration, but the reaction of the public, they might think it's a little bit strange. Unless you are the only one there. If you're out in the middle of Australia, some country town out the back of nowhere, then...
if it's really good in India, you can just keep on walking and doing the same things for everybody can hear. But here, if you do it,
you have to be conscientious of how the public perceive us. Good to take other devotees if you can. If you're in some outback town in the back of Australia and you're the only one there, then that is circumstance. But generally, we should always collect the devotees together. Just like on Gaur Panin, how many people were there on the Harinam? Did anyone go on the Harinam? It's about 100 people, right? Maybe more, I think. 120 devotees or something. So good, collect everyone together, 120, and then go and chant. Simple. Any points?
When I was a little girl in Hyderabad, I was growing in Hyderabad. So in the morning, like around 4:35 o'clock, the devotees, group of devotees, they used to in front of my house to Harinam, chanting very loudly. So I would suddenly hear that I would get up and see from the window all everybody chanting Hare Krishna. I feel so bad at that time, if I had taken serious view, there was, I would have met Prabhupada. But now I remember. Morning at 5 o'clock, there is two groups chanting Hare Krishna and going to the
Okay, so we read the next Yogeshwar Govind. You want to read the next paragraph?
Kali Yuga is full of contamination.
This is described in Srimad Bhagavatam 4.3.51. Kavya Kushati Deyaraja Asti Yeka Mahanduna Kirtanya Deva Krishnasya Mukhasanga Paramatate. This age of Kali is full of unlimited faults. Indeed, it is just like an ocean of faults. Ocean. But there is one chance, one opportunity. Kirtanya Deva Krishnasya Mukhasanga Paramatate. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can be freed from the contaminations of Kali Yuga, and his original spiritual body can be then brought back to Godhead. This is the opportunity of Kali Yuga.
And the next paragraph.
When Krishna appeared, he gave his order, and when Krishna himself appeared as a devotee, as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed us the path by which to cross the ocean of Kali Yuga. That is the path of the Hare Krishna movement. When Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared, he ushered in the era for the Sankirtan movement. It is also said that for 10,000 years this era will continue. This means that simply by accepting the Sankirtan movement and chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the whole souls of this Kali Yuga will be delivered. After the battle of Kurukshetra, at which Bhagavad Gita was spoken, Kali Yuga continues for 432,000 years, of which only 5,000 years have passed. Thus, there is still a chance, still a balance of 427,000 years to come. Of this 427,000 years, the 10,000 years of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu 500 years ago provide the opportunity for the fallen souls of Kali Yuga to take to Krishna consciousness movement, chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, and thus be delivered from the clutches of material existence and return home back to Godhead.
So what are the points in this paragraph?
We have to hurry up. Otherwise 10,000 years. I think we should hurry up now. Otherwise you don't know when, even if we come back in this human form, we don't know whether it will be, it might be after 10,000.
So you say we should hurry up?
Yeah.
Then why are you always late for class?
Hurry up, man. And I'm just slow at home. But in a spiritual life, you should be hurry up. That's the most
Any other point?
Prabhupada says, simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can be free from all contamination, and in his original spiritual body return back home, back to the spiritual world. So powerful, just chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. Practically, we don't need to do anything else, everything is there. And fully purified and go right back to the mind of another. It's pretty inconceivable, actually.
Just pick up that.
His Holiness Ram Maharaj mentioned the same point on Sunday's class, where he mentioned we are so fortunate, like in the day of Brahma. In this yuga is the only yuga where Krishna himself comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and gives the topmost mantra, such as Hare Krishna mantra, he gives Radha and Krishna. So we are very fortunate to be born in this yuga, especially when we have been exposed to Hare Krishna mantra. So we should take all the opportunity available.
Yeah, so this is uniform.
I was just wondering, because it said you can go back in his original spiritual body and return home back to Godhead. Usually, isn't the process that we take birth in this universe where Krishna is having his will before we go back to Godhead? So is this an exception or it's just.
Technically, that means back to Godhead also.
Because
You're getting Krishna's direct association. So even it may be Gokul instead of Goloka, but it's still considered to be back to Godhead. At that point in time. So, even though we hear this all the time, that we are so fortunate and that, you know, Lord Chaitanya only appears once in a day for Lama, but we don't take it seriously. We don't think about it very much. We don't act on it very seriously. We're not that serious about our spiritual life. Right? We're not that determined to go back to Godhead in this lifetime, even though the opportunity is there. Right? And this is the greatest opportunity. Because Swayam Bhagavan himself only comes once in the day of Lord Brahma. Right? And we've been born a few years after Swayam Bhagavan himself was here on the earth. So we have the greatest opportunity, but still we don't take it very seriously. We're still very much caught up in the material energy and focused on Maya. So, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that the Acharyas give an example. It's just like we've mentioned before, the king, he goes into the treasury and the king is intoxicated. He had too much Varuni juice. So he goes into the treasury and he takes all the jewels and then he goes onto the street and he just starts giving them out to everyone. He says, here, take it. Most valuable, precious jewels of the kingdom. And he just gives them to people. He says, here, have it. So the Acharyas say this is like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Because they're intoxicated with the love of God, they give the most valuable thing to those who are unworthy. So this is their mercy. This is the definition of causeless mercy. Mahavaranyaya, which means just unlimited mercy. Not that we did anything. We don't have any qualification. We don't have any adhikar. But somehow they are merciful, so they just give us this opportunity. So we should take advantage of it. If we can stay awake in class. And we have so much opportunity, but you see, you know, in an average Bhagavatam class in ISKCON, half the devotees are asleep. Class is going on, everyone's just like, you know, we're supposed to have the greatest benefit. We don't take it seriously. Half the time we just come to the temple because we want prasad. So we're not really taking the process incredibly seriously. But if we do take it seriously, then we get the highest benefit. Any points? Okay, so we'll read the next paragraph. Mahatma Prabhu, would you like to read it? Yes, sir.
Chanting Hare Krishna mantra is quoted always, but it is specially quoted in the age of faith. Therefore, Sudhya Goswami, while instructing Mahaprabhu, could stress the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Kale Dosh Nidhe Rajan Astihi Eko Mahaguna Kirtana Te Prakrishte Mukti Sandha Paramdhaje. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is full of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. It is that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Bhagavatam 12.3.20. Those who have accepted the task of spreading Hare Krishna mantra in full Krishna consciousness should take this opportunity to deliver people very easily to the purpose of their existence. Our duty, therefore, is to follow the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and feed the Krishna consciousness movements all over the world very sincerely. This is the best welfare activity for the peace and prosperity of the human system.
So, what points does Prabhupada make?
Preach.
Yes, Srila Prabhupada says that if you want to attract Krishna's attention, then you have to give Krishna to others. So this is the entire mood of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu's mood was, we must give Krishna to others. So we have to get into that mood. That is the way you attract the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. You have to preach. You can't just look after your own spiritual life. That's not acceptable in our tradition. Our tradition is to give Krishna to others. Therefore, our movement is Gosya Nandi. We're not a Bhajana Nandi movement. Although we have Bhajana Nandi devotees within our sampradaya, within our tradition. But they were so powerful that they inspired the Goshtya Nandis to go and preach. Right? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was a great preacher, and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who was also a great preacher, they were inspired by their gurus, who were Bhajana Nandis. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj and Gorkhashoda Das Babaji Maharaj inspired them to go and preach. So if you can do bhajan, you can be a bhajana nandi, but then you have to inspire everyone else to preach. Everyone's so enthused by your association, they go out and preach. So if you can just sit in one place and just chant Hare Krishna and everyone becomes so enthused they go and preach, then you can do that. That is your preaching. But most of us are not like that. So therefore we have to give Krishna to others. And the more you give Krishna to others, the more you get Krishna yourself. Any points?
Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he even changed the Mahamantra was done before. They used to take the name of Ram first, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Ram. But because the other pundits, they were objecting that these people can't do this mantra because they are not qualified. So it will change around. And so everything can change. So it's so possible.
Seems that we don't really have so much faith in the potency of the holy name and the spreading of Christian consciousness. If we actually had faith, we'd be realizing that if we just go out and like chant in the streets all the time and distribute books, then this is going to solve, you know, all the problems in the world. Like God says, it's the best world for activity, for peace and prosperity of human society. So obviously we don't have much faith in the potency of the whole name and the potency of preaching to actually alleviate all these problems and create real peace and harmony in society. Otherwise we'd be out there all the time, right? So somehow we need to really awaken faith within ourselves and then the process of Christian consciousness, the process of preaching, the process of the whole name, the books, the shows.
Follow the instruction of your guru. If you don't have the faith yourself, then follow the instruction. Eventually you get the faith. So Prabhupada said, distribute books, distribute books, distribute books. And you must have some faith, otherwise you wouldn't.
I think it's a great distribution of books.
What's that?
He's a great distributor of books.
Yeah, he's
I've known him for such a long time.
he's
so enthusiastic.
He's distributed a few. Few more towns we go yet. Oh, Maharaj Parikshit, subduer of all enemies. After Lord Brahma finished speaking to the demigods, he took them with him to the abode of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is beyond this material world. The Lord's abode is on an island called Shweta Dweep, which is situated in an ocean of milk. So Sukadeva Goswami, he calls Maharaj Parikshit the subduer of enemies. So this is the nature of a devotee. We must subdue the enemies externally and internally. So externally, we have to fight the forces of Kali, the forces of Maya. Just like they give us so many problems around the world. Just like the devotees in Moscow, the Russian government is giving the devotees so many problems. In Kazakhstan, we got so many problems. In China, we get problems. All over the world, we get problems. So devotees, we have to fight the enemies of the Sankirtan movement. And Prabhupada says also internally, lust, anger and greed, which are the enemies in our heart. We also have to fight and conquer them. So this is the mood of the devotee. He is like a kshatriya. And Prabhupada was in this mood. There's one pastime Prabhupada was in Mumbai, and there was some dispute between someone he'd done business with. They were Sikh people, very big, like Sikhs, you know, the turbans. And Sikhs are like kshatriyas, like that. So Prabhupada had done some business with them, but there was some disagreement about the payment. Prabhupada had given money, but they wanted more. So they were arguing with Prabhupada. He left the temple in Juhu, and then he went to the train station. So they followed him to the train station. And then he got out, and then they were following him on the platform as he was getting out, and they were yelling at him. And these were big men, you know, much younger than Prabhupada. They were yelling, and Prabhupada was yelling back at them. Prabhupada was turning around and putting his finger in their face. Right? They were yelling at him. Prabhupada was yelling back at them. Right? And then Prabhupada got on the train, and then they were at the window, and they were still yelling at him. Like, there's Prabhupada was yelling back at them. And then the train took off and then went down, and then Prabhupada just put his hand in his bead bag and just started to chant Hare Krishna. So when he was fighting against the opposition to the Sankirtan movement, he was very aggressive. But he himself was very peaceful. But to spread the movement, we have to face the enemies. And also within ourselves, whatever impurities are there within our consciousness, we also have to fight. Any points? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.